6th for me. I was about to say June 6th. I'm tongue-tied today. Forgive me. John 6. We are going to read a lot of verses together. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand, because it will not be on the PowerPoint, this part. Just raise your hand if you need a Bible. Our main verse, as you know, we've been started a series called Jesus, just Jesus. And last 2 weeks we talked about what it means of Jesus being the Word of God. Today we're going to talk about Jesus, the bread of life. What he calls himself, I am the bread. And our main verse is in John 6:35, where he says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But in order to understand that, I want to read the whole context this is in. So if you would join me, beginning verse 32, and we're going to read to verse 39 to you, so we can understand the story. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. When they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at that last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at that last day. The Jews then complained and said to him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I come down from heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. And it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And not that everyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes from down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. For whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up that last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which comes down from heaven. And as your fathers ate manna and are dead, He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Like I said, I know there's a lot in this text, but I wanted us to get the gist of what's going on here. Jesus declares himself as being the bread of life, the bread that comes down from heaven. Now, as a modern day Jew, what are they thinking? What are we thinking as modern day Christians? Well, the Jews in that day, what were they thinking? Well, if I were to ask you, what do you think of when you think of bread in the Bible? Most of us will immediately think of just two things. Number one, think of manna, what God gave the Israelites. When in reality, we call it bread from heaven, but the word manna literally means we don't know what it is. That's its literal meaning. What is it? They had no word to describe what it is. Was it bread? Was it meat? Was it vegetation? Nobody knew. Manna literally means, what is it? But all we know about it is, it gave them all the nourishing nutrients their body needed. And it filled the hunger. But we tend to think of manna as bread, just like when we think about Eve eating the fruit, we think of it as an apple. When it wasn't an apple, it was a fruit. So, we think of manna. The second is we think of Passover. And for those who remember Easter Sunday, when we talked about the Passover bread, how the bread itself, the matzah itself, the unleavened bread itself, later on in years, replaced the lamb because the temple was burned down and they couldn't sacrifice lamb like they used to at Passover. So the matzahs, the bread, replaced the lamb. And how there's three breads and the middle bread that you take, you break, and you hide for the end, representing the returning of the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, represented Jesus. That when Jesus took that middle bread and he broke it, said, "This is my body broken for you." And then he took the other part and hid it. That statement, he was saying, "I am the Messiah. I'm hiding it because I will return." But he's saying, "You take, eat, this is my bread. This is my body." Was a forerunner to what we're talking about here. It came then. It's a reflection of him being the bread, saying, "I am the bread." So this is prophetic for the days to come in which he will declare it. So most of us, when we think of bread, that's what we think of, the Passover bread and the manna, which really isn't bread, and we have no idea what it really is other than food from heaven, or bread in quotes from heaven. So the Jew of the day who heard this, and when did this happen? Well, the background to this, you just had the feeding of the 5,000. After he fed the 5,000 with what? Bread and fish. The people were ready to crown him Messiah and declare him a prophet as Moses, their deliverer, as in which John 6:14 states. You know, if we turn back, and I'll just read this to you real quick. John 6:14 says this. Then those men, when they had the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who's come into this world." So they're ready to just declare him the new Moses, the new deliverer from the captivity from Roman rule. And at the end of the feeding, they wanted to take Jesus by force and actually make him king, which then is in John 6:15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived what they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain alone. So people were going crazy after he fed them with that bread. And of course, the reputation flew. People know about this right now. And they followed him. Jesus went across Galilee. He walked on water. They followed him across there. But then what happened is he was refocusing them. The Pharisees chased him down, and now we're beginning to accuse him and pry and try to figure out and test him. Why? Because according to Jewish tradition, one of the long-standing traditions was that the Messiah, when he came, he would restore the miracle of the manna. One of the signs of the Messiah coming was that he will restore and be a Moses-like figure. Now, I want you to think about something. Jesus holds three offices, official offices in the New Testament: prophet, priest, and king. Keep that in mind, because what they are testing him is to see how this fits into him. Jesus is being declared now a prophet like Moses by the people, because Moses fed the people with manna. Now the people are declaring him king, want to make him king. But the one thing that's missing is the priestly role right now. The people haven't gotten yet. But what does Jesus do when he offers himself as a sacrifice? When he takes the manna or at Passover, and he's the one who breaks the bread and leads them in the Passover meal. He's fulfilling that office of high priest. We know in Scripture, Jesus is our high priest in Hebrews in the order of Melchizedek. So keep those things in mind as we talk about the bread of life. So when the people, these Jewish leaders that are confronting him in the passage we just read, are thinking physical term. They're thinking, let's test him about this bread. Is he a deliverer like Moses? Is he a prophet like Moses? And the people are claiming to want to make him king. Does he have the pedigree to be king? Let's test him a little bit here. But what Jesus does, something very important here. He takes the focus off the physical bread and puts it on spiritual things. See, they're coming to test in the natural. They're trying to perceive in the natural. Do you see how many times in the scripture we just read that they said, wait a minute, isn't this the son of Joseph and Mary? Isn't this that? How can he say he's bread? How can people eat his flesh when he talks about the flesh? Their spiritual eyes are closed. He's speaking in heavenly language here. He's talking about spiritual things. Some were getting it, some weren't. But there are certain qualities we need to understand for us to get it. Let's look at number one. Jesus is the bread of life. He declares it. What does that mean? First thing is heaven's bread. This bread of life is a person. It is not a thing. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. It is a person that you go to. What it is not is a denomination. It is not tradition. It is not physical, but it is a spiritual. It is a changing of the heart. It is my heart, my soul, which is my mind, will, and emotions, that hunger for this bread. Him. It is my soul, my body, my strength, my mind, my will, my emotions that hunger for Jesus. What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then love your neighbor as yourself. See, he just tells us in 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, because he will satisfy me when I receive him and all of him. But I love this too. He will not thirst. When we think of thirst, we think of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came, brought salvation. His grace, we know, is sufficient for everything. But when he imparted his Holy Spirit in us, he just satisfies our thirst. And that pouring of our thirst flows out of us. So now when I go to him and I seek him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, I am satisfied. But then when my thirst is satisfied, his Holy Spirit that Jesus gave me, his Spirit. Jesus baptized me with the Holy Spirit. He gave me his Spirit. Now I can go and love my neighbor as myself because now I'm pouring into them what he has given me. The food that I eat, the spiritual food that he gives to me to satisfy me, has abundance that comes forth through me to satisfy those around me. He is my spiritual bread, and he is a he. He is a person. What's interesting is, do you know what the word Bethlehem means? House of bread. House of bread. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He is the bread of life that came from the bakery of Bethlehem. But where did the ingredients come from? They came from the Father. Anyone baking in a bakery has to bring forth the flour, the wheat, the oil, the ingredients to the bakery to bake it. God the Father gave in Jesus everything to be, in a way, baked and come forth in the house of bread, which is Bethlehem, for us to be served the will of the Father. So it's what makes bread taste good is its ingredients and how it's baked. Ingredients of heaven are perfect. And the way our Heavenly Father baked them was in a perfect bakery, in the perfect temperature, in the perfect way, because Jesus had to come as he came in order for him to do what he did so that he can continue to do in his spirit what he is doing right now and what he is still going to do in the future. It's perfect. It's perfect. He is the bread of life. And what's cool about this section too is when he says, I am the bread of life, we need to realize that's a very, very, very bold statement. I am begins the first of seven I ams over the next few chapters in the book of John. And the word I am, the tetragram or tetragrammaton of it in Hebrew is YHWH. What does that spell or represent? Yahweh. So when he says, I am the bread of life, it's the I am of Exodus when Moses asked, who shall I say? And he says, I am sent you. I am who I am. And later on, when Jesus said simply to the Pharisees, I am, using that same language, he is using the same language here. He's saying, I am Yahweh, the bread of life. And then the other I ams are, I am the light of the world, I am the door of the sheep, I am the good shepherd, I am the Son of God, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the truth and the life, I am the true vine. using that same tetragrammaton of YHWH, I am. I am the bread of life. He's making it clear to them. He's revealing who he is, that he is God in the form of Jesus. He is the incarnate God. So the bread of life, this bread of heaven, is a person. Is a person, a living, breathing person that continues to live and breathe. Not something you eat and you're done. But it's a relationship with this bread of life. Second point is, heaven's bread is two things: received and shared. Received. It has to be freely eaten. Has to be freely received. God is a gentleman. Jesus came to save the world, but I have to choose to receive him. He does not force his way upon me, but he makes every avenue possible for me to choose to receive him as my Savior. I have to choose. Notice in that whole section in John 6 that we read, and you can look back and read it later on your own, how many times he uses the words, come and believe, charging them, if you will come, or if you will believe, or for those who choose to come, and those who choose to believe. It's a choice that we're making, to come and believe in him, the bread of life, to receive his bread. It's an invitation to place their faith in Jesus as the Messiah and as the Son of God. He is the bread of life. He is freely received. And if you look in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus presented a type of himself. He cared for the multitude and he satisfied them. They received the bread from heaven that he blessed and he imparted. He gave and they partook in. Now, somebody could have said, I don't want this. I don't trust where this came from. But the people were fed because they received. And anyone who received was satisfied. And we see that how every man in the 5,000, feeding of the 5,000, it says in verse 11, he took as much as they would. They received as much as they would. When he fed them, said, and each person took as much as they would, as much as they needed, as much as they wanted. Meaning, it was enough to satisfy their full hunger. And if anyone hasn't eaten all day, and it's now 5-6 o'clock at night, you're starving, let me tell you, you're famished. You're going to eat. They received as much as they needed. Then after they filled themselves, there was still an abundance left over in verse 13. So he's showing how they received him and they were willing to eat and eat and eat till they were satisfied. And Jesus is here to satisfy us. His grace is more than sufficient. But the second part is, heaven's bread is meant to be shared. It's shared by all. It's meant to be passed along. I want to show you something. Exodus 16:32, because as Jesus gave the 5,000, it represented his role of prophet. It fulfilled that to show the people who he was. And it was symbolic of the manna. But in Exodus 16:32, it says this, then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord had commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread which I fed in you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. So he's saying, fill something and give it, show it to the next generation. Share it with the next generation, that they will know who saved you, who delivered you. Pass it along. Think of a family heirloom, a memento. This wedding ring that I'm wearing, This was passed to my wife's father, and he passed it down to me. And this will be passed down to my son, to future generations. Because it represents who we are and a time in our lives as a family and a destiny. Well, remember, pass it along. Well, look at John 6, 11 through 12. Then Jesus took the loaves and we had given thanks. What did he do? He distributed. He passed it to who? His disciples. He shared it with his disciples. And what did the disciples do? And the disciples to those sitting down. They took that same bread and passed it. What do we talk about as a church when we equip the saints? We're equipping you with everything that God would give us so that you will take it, be satisfied, and then pass it and equip it to someone else, the next generation, to share it with someone else. You are being equipped with the Word of God. We want to teach you on Wednesday and Thursday nights how to study the Word of God so you can teach someone else how to study the Word of God. Wednesday's reclamation this past weekend was unbelievable. But it wasn't meant to be held in four walls. It was meant for the Holy Spirit to equip us with what we need so we can then go and bless and impart the presence of the Holy Spirit on other people to equip them to pass it. The God, His bread, He is the bread of life. He says you will never hunger or thirst. You'll be satisfied, and that thirst will be satisfied, and that thirst representing the Holy Spirit then can be poured out unto others. We bestow on them the Word of God and the presence of God, so they will never thirst again and never hunger again. So he gave it to his disciples, and they to sitting down, and likewise of the fish they ate as much as what they wanted, and they were filled. And his disciples, he said to them, gather up, so nothing was lost. Jesus, in the same way, is to be shared with those who cross our path. We need to impart His Word. We need to impart salvation. Pray for salvation. Lead people in salvation. Make disciples and impart His Holy Spirit with the next spiritual generation to come. I want to read you a couple of quick things here. Matthew 25, 35 through 40. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you looked and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer. Who will answer? The righteous. Those who believed. Those who chose to believe. Those who choose to come. The Lord, when do we see you all these things? And skipping down, he verse 40 says, and the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did to the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. They were called righteous because they received and they were passing along. They received and believed and they were passing along. That's what made them righteous. They did it. And we talked about, you know, we spent several weeks a few months ago on this passage on hungry isn't hungry for natural food. When Jesus talks about hunger, he does not talk about bread and meat and vegetables and salad and even dessert and Twinkies as much as we'd like to believe that. He's talking about the Word of God, the food from heaven, the thing that sustains us so that we will never be hungry again. Too many churches are still on the shallow level, and too many Christians look at this and think this is just about doing good works. And there is a huge element of doing good works here. But the essence of this, the foundation of this, is to be hungry for the Word of God, to feed people with the Word of God, with the truth of God, to impart people with the Word of God. He is a living bread. He is life, the bread of life. Deuteronomy 8:3 says this, "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Jesus, isn't that what he responded to Satan when Satan was dealing with that shallow level of, "Hey, you're hungry, Jesus. Turn these stones into bread so you can eat and satisfy your flesh." No. Even in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, feeding the hungry meant feeding the hungry, the spiritually deprived. Feeding the hungry with the Word of God. Even in Deuteronomy, manna satisfied them and symbolic of the Word of God. I want you to think about this for a second. Food that we are given to eat that satisfy the body never came from heaven and poured down. It sprung up from what God created. Think about it. Our grains were grown. Our sheep, our meat that we might eat, we partake in because they were already given to us. We're here. God did it in creation. Trees that fruits grow on are here. The seeds are here. Manna came directly from heaven to satisfy. I eat an apple, I eat a piece of steak, I eat bread, I'm filled for the moment, but then I'm hungry a couple hours later. Manna meant to satisfy. So if manna, even in the physical realm of what happened in Exodus, was meant to satisfy, and what God gives us, what Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life," is meant to satisfy. He came right from heaven. The ingredients came from heaven, was baked in the bakery of Bethlehem. It wasn't meant to just satisfy you for the moment or the day. The Word of God isn't meant to be taken and received now, so that 2 hours later, you'll be hungry again. It's meant to be satisfied, and what that means is stood on. Stood on. His Word is eternal. It doesn't go away. It's not like a temporary high and you come off of it. His Word is eternal. Salvation for those who come and receive is eternal. And Jesus continues to satisfy. See, understand, Jesus as the bread of life, meant to be received and shared, means I am receiving Him and I'm walking with Him. I am walking with Him every day. I am called righteous because my heart is right with God. Righteous means in right standing. That my heart is in right standing with God. He is the bread of life. I am righteous because I am clothed in His righteousness. And I am called righteous as I am receiving and sharing. This is the bread of life. Now there's two more points about this. Heaven's bread has power, and heaven's bread comes with a promise. I'm going to save those for not next week, but in 2 weeks. Next week is Father's Day. And we'll talk about them then. But heaven's bread is a real person. If you are not satisfied in your walk with Jesus, there's nothing wrong with heaven's bread. The question becomes, have we received him fully? If we're constantly needing more, now understand, it's different from hungering for more of that bread. It's hungering for more of Jesus in my life, more of his Spirit in my life to pour into me so I can pour out. That's different from not feeling satisfied, feeling like something is missing in my life. If something is missing, ask yourself, have I really received this bread who is a person? Have I really sat at God's table and eaten and dined with God? Or am I kind of poo-pooing him a little bit? Or neglecting what he has been trying to give to me? What he's trying to offer me? Or am I saying, Jesus, your bread's good in this situation, but not here. I'll receive you at home and at church, but not at work and not at play, not in front of my neighbors. You satisfy me in this area, but I'm going to try to satisfy myself in other areas. I'm going to put my satisfaction in my own means and my money, but not in you, in this area. Jesus came to satisfy every area. Every area of my life. He is the Word of God. And in being the Word of God, he satisfies. Because he's the bread of life. And there's life in his Word. His Word is life. He said, in my bread, in me, there is life. We read that this morning. He is life, and his word is life. How does that work? I shared with you this morning the revelation God gave me about Leviathan. You know, that encouraged me when I realized that the chaos in my life, sometimes I bring it about myself. But other times, there is a spirit. There is a creature sent by the devil himself to lead me to stir chaos around me. To stir chaos around me. To stir that same chaos in my life. And the only way to do it is to combat it. But what's so beautiful, and I'm going to close with this, is what he says. In that day, the Lord with a severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile in the sea. 27:1, Isaiah 27:1. So my faith, my trust is in him. So for me personally, as a testimony, that bread of life, who Jesus is, I need to sit and I need to allow him to feed me, allow that bread to grow in me. See, when we eat bread, guess what it does? It expands in our stomach, literally, physical bread. I need his word to expand in my life. So when I read that and realized there's a spirit, a Leviathan, causing chaos in my life, I need to say, Lord, I stand on your word that let it grows in me and moves in me in full power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I stand on you as the bread of life. Thank you, Lord, for you bring peace in my chaos. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Listen to the Holy Spirit right now. What is He saying to you? What is He speaking to you about? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do you need to receive Jesus this morning? Do you need to accept Him, accept the bread of life in your heart as your Savior? If you do, just simply pray this with me. Father, I ask You to forgive me of all my sins. I believe with all my heart that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die for me. And I confess that Jesus is the Savior and Lord of my life. I ask that Your Holy Spirit come and fill me and change my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. But what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about right now? How is He showing you that this bread, who is a person, who is meant to be received and shared, wants to move in your life? What has she shown you?